Good morning and welcome to the Sunday School lesson of today, April 28, 2024, brought to you by the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Christ the Lord Parish, Lekki, Lagos. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we worship you and reverence your name. We thank you for enabling us to see a brand new day. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We ask, O Lord, even that you will shed light onto your word today in the name of Jesus, that we may have understanding and enable us to put your word to good use in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Today's lesson is titled, The Waiting Room. Let us pray and say, Father, teach me to learn how to wait on you in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we pray, O Lord, that you'll teach us. Teach us, O Lord, how to wait on you in times of distress, in times of need, in our circumstances. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Last week, we discussed love language in marriage. We noted that many marriages are needlessly failing because the marriage partners have a lack of knowledge regarding relationship dynamics. We looked at the scriptural principles and love language that should characterize marital relationships. The key guiding principles discussed include the fact that marriage is a union between a man and a woman, according to scriptures in Genesis 1:27. As such, the God-designed differences between the man and the woman should be complementary. This means that the differences in both should complement each other and not bring about competition between the two. Besides, marriage is divine and is based on God's principles, not man's principles. And it is to be a relationship of companionship, completion, and communion with adequate communication between both parties. Marriage was designed by God to be a permanent covenant relationship and not an institution either can opt to walk in or out of anyhow. Marriage should be a source of joy, meant to be a major part of God's plan to produce godly offspring. We learn that partners in a marriage should understand the love language of each other. And the love language is what makes you or your partner feel loved. As we can imagine, love language will differ from couple to couple as each relationship is different. The five primary love languages we discussed include spending quality time together, doing things together, maybe like cooking or handling household chores, also exchanging gifts, no matter how small. If you see your partner likes something and you see that thing that the person likes, it doesn't have to be big. Just buy it and give to the person to surprise the person. It helps the marriage. Another one is words of affirmation. That is when the partner notices something different in the other person and compliments the person. Such as if a woman goes out to make her hair in a nice way, the husband should be able to compliment her over it. Not that the husband will be putting down the wife or the wife putting down the husband. And then finally, we talked about, you know, physical touching, kissing, holding hands, just small gestures that help to, you know, keep the marriage going. Couples were encouraged to discover and use their unique love languages. Now, going on to today's lesson, the waiting room. The Bible passage is taken from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, from verse 24 to 26. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The memory verse for today's lesson is taken from Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Then we go to the lesson introduction. Waiting on God is not only difficult, but sometimes seems impossible. As human beings, we often want to determine the how and when of happenings around us. However, Isaiah 55:8-9 states that God does not operate our schedules, as his thoughts and ways are higher than ours. God wants us to wait on him in eager anticipation because he is with us and is in control of our lives. He's always working for our good, whether we feel his presence or not, and will fulfill his promises over us and rescue us and save us according to his promise in Romans 8, verse 28, which says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. As usual, we have two lesson outlines. The first one is the waiting room and its blessings. In this outline, we will define what the waiting room is, the nature of the waiting room, and the blessings of waiting. Starting with the definition, the waiting room can be defined as a place of seeking God's intervention over a situation or condition. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Waiting room can also be defined as the gap between God's promises and their fulfillment. For example, in the case of Abraham and Sarah, who waited for years before their waiting came to an end, when Sarah finally became pregnant, in Genesis 21, verse 2. Waiting room is also the space between crying for a change and God's response to the cries, such as we have in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. Here, Jonah went to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh, where God instructed him to go. As we know, he was swallowed by a fish provided by God and spent 3 days and nights. And it is during this time that Jonah prayed. After the waiting period of 3 days and nights, the Lord commanded the fish to vomit him on dry ground. Finally, the waiting room can be defined as a place where we prepare for the next phase of our journey. As experienced by Jacob in Bethel in Genesis 28 from verse 10 to 16. Jacob was embarking on a trip to his uncle Laban's house whilst running away from Esau, his brother. On his way there, he stopped for a night because the sun had set and slept off. He dreamt and saw God who made promises to him, one of which was that his descendants will be so plentiful, they will be like the dust of the earth. And another one is that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him and his offspring. So going to the nature of the waiting room, we must note first of all that waiting is unavoidable at one point or the other of our lives. The good thing about it is that waiting will not be forever. God will answer us where he chooses and in any way that he chooses to do so. Sometimes, God puts us in a waiting room to allow us to have a change of heart, as we already saw in the case of Jonah. At other times, God uses the waiting room as a test of our commitment and to grow our faith, as we see in Psalm 66 from verse 10 to 12. Finally, the ability to wait on the Lord comes from being confident and focused on who God is and what he's doing, since he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Much as we do not like to be in the waiting room, there are blessings of waiting. These include the fact that we learn and experience trust during waiting, since we know God has the power to do what he has promised. Waiting also renews our strength. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Furthermore, waiting builds our faith and confidence in God, as we see in the example of Abraham and Sarah, who, despite being beyond the age of conception and childbirth, did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith in God. Following this, their shame was taken away. So another benefit is that waiting on the Lord takes our shame away. Finally, waiting builds patience and makes us authorities as we showcase the glory of God. We remember the testimonies of Job after the long waiting period. Eventually, at the end of it, Job was blessed 2 times over what he had in the first place. So he had many, many testimonies to share. So even as we wait on the Lord, we will have several testimonies that we can share with other people. The second outline discusses things to do in the waiting room. The fact that one is waiting does not mean that life must stop and all activities must be around the reason for waiting. A lot depends on our attitude. First of all, we must put aside our old ways of doing things and trust in God's timing and plans. Remember, the Bible says 1,000 years are like a day that has just gone by to God. So we must learn not to do things our own way, but trust in God's timing and plans. Secondly, we must not try to alter God's timetable by going contrary to his will. While waiting, we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not start thinking of executing our own personal plans or going to a plan B or opting for a plan C. No, we should always try to work in tandem with God's plans and his will. Thirdly, we must be sure of God's direction, that is, know the steps God wants us to take. We must always pause and prayerfully consider what God is saying, whilst remaining thankful for what he will do. Philippians 4:6-7 encourages us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. And it is then that the peace of God will guard our hearts. We also need to learn to be content and patient. Hebrews 10:36 stresses the need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive that which he has promised. Whilst waiting, we should be of good courage and actively seek his face in prayer and studying the word. Besides, we must be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying at any time and take actions as directed by him. Finally, we must channel our strengths to other areas of interest, so our lives do not revolve around our challenges. Now, going on to the class activities of the day. The first class activity says we should mention biblical examples of people who waited on God. We already mentioned Job. We mentioned Abraham and Sarah. Hannah also waited for the fruit of the womb, as did Rebecca and even Ruth. Joseph waited before becoming the prime minister in Egypt, just as David did before eventually becoming king. The second class activity says, discuss why some people decide to take shortcuts instead of waiting on God. Reasons for not waiting on God vary from a lack of faith and trust in God, with some thinking God is just too slow in answering them. Others feel ashamed, perhaps because people are laughing at them. There is also the possibility of negative influences, such as Job experienced when his friends visited him during his trials and blamed him for his troubles. Thankfully, he stood his ground. Generally, some do not want to wait because of unbelief and prayerlessness. In conclusion today, remember that delay is not denial. You are in God's waiting room and he is at work. Let us pray. The closing prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, even for what you have taught us today. We trust in your word and pray that irrespective of our circumstances, you will grant us the grace to wait for your blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. May we all have testimonies to share in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.